If you would take out your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel 18, we're going to be reading the first 16 verses. 1 Samuel chapter 18. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the son of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword and his bow and his belt. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him, so that Saul set him over the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. As they were coming home, when David returned from striking down the Philistine, the women came out of the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with songs of joy, and with musical instruments. And the women sang to one another as they celebrated, "Saul has struck down his thousands, and David his 10,000s." And Saul was very angry, and this saying displeased him. He said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed thousands. And what more can he have but the kingdom?" And Saul eyed David from that day on. The next day a harmful spirit from God rushed upon Saul, and he raved within his house while David was playing the lyre, as he did day by day. Saul had his spear in his hand, and Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, "I will pin David to the wall." But David evaded him twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. And so Saul removed him from his presence and made him a commander of thousands. And he went out and came in before the people. And David had success in all his undertakings, for the Lord was with him. And when Saul saw that he had great success, he stood in fearful awe of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, for he went out and came in before them. There's a story about two shopkeepers who were bitter rivals. Their stores were right across the street from one another, and they would spend each day looking at their competitor's business to see if they were getting more business than themselves. And if one got a customer, they would smile and triumph and make sure that their competitor knew. And this just continued on day after day. Well, one night an angel appeared to one of the shopkeepers in a dream and said, "I will give you anything you ask for, but whatever you receive, your competitor will receive twice as much. Would you like to be rich? Well, then your competitor is going to be twice as rich. Would you like health and long life? And that can be yours. But again, your competitor will be even healthier and will have an even longer life." And so the angel said to him, What do you desire?" And the man frowned and he thought for a while, and then he said, "Here's my wish. Strike me blind in one eye." Have you ever been jealous of another person's talents or abilities? Have you ever been envious of their body or their spouse or their car or their house or their charisma or you fill in the blank? It's amazing how jealousy creeps so easily into our hearts. It's there before we even know it. You may be fine, but then a day comes and suddenly you notice that God seems to be blessing others more than you. A friend of yours can suddenly take a vacation that you're unable to, or maybe buy a little bit better car, and all this time you're just struggling to pay your bills. And it's not long before you find yourself saying, maybe not even out loud, but just in your head, "Lord, what about me?" Have you ever watched that show on TV where people are looking for that perfect vacation home on some tropical island. And the poor things, they only have $750,000 to spend. And after the show is over, for just a brief moment, you think to yourself, again, maybe it's just in your head, Lord, why can't I have a vacation home on some tropical island? It's so easy to snivel sometimes, isn't it? And suddenly you find a small seed of jealousy has been planted in your heart. And if you don't deal with it, it's amazing how quickly that can grow and start to steal your contentment. We have far more jealousy in our hearts than we realize. And jealousy is not just a little problem or a character defect like we sometimes try to make it out to be. Listen to how Galatians 5:20 puts jealousy. And it puts it on a list of sins that might surprise you. It talks about jealousy in relationship to adultery, idolatry, witchcraft, discord, and fits of rage, which gives us a little indication of what God thinks about jealousy. And if it's serious to God, then it needs to be serious to us as well. In our passage, I want to focus on two men. David, who has been blessed by God and clearly is the recipient of many gifts and talents, and King Saul, who is envious and jealous of what God has given to him. And by the end of the chapter, it's amazing what King Saul's jealousy leads him to do. When I think of King Saul, in some ways it kind of reminds me of that fairy tale, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Do you remember the evil queen? She'd look in her mirror every day and say, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" And every day the mirror would say, "You are my queen." But one day, that's not the answer she heard. She heard the words, "Snow White." "What?" the queen cries. "It's not mean. It's not me. You mean there's one that's even more beautiful than I am?" And in her jealousy, she begins to put together a plan. And for the rest of the movie, she tries to end Snow White's life. Eventually, that's how King Saul becomes. When you read the story and the chapters following it, it's just amazing how that jealousy just seems to grow in his heart and in his mind, and it eventually just takes him over. Before Lent, we looked at the story of David and Goliath, and we saw while no one in Israel's army, including King Saul, was willing to go out and meet Goliath, David was. And without armor or helmet or shield or sword, in the power of God, he meets Goliath on the battlefield, and Goliath was killed that day. That day, King Saul was pleased with David and invites David to come and live with him in his palace. But in time, that relationship kind of soured. It soured when King Saul started to feel threatened by David and saw how God was with him and how God blessed everything that David did. And he felt small in comparison, I think. Our passage says over and over that Yahweh was with David. Verse 14 says, "In everything David did, he had great success because the Lord was with him." See, David lived for God's glory. He lived his life to please God. And so David was successful in all that he did. The battles that he fought and the people, they liked David. They could see that God was with him. But the opposite was true with King Saul. He just became more and more jealous. Listen to verse 6 and 7 again. "One day when David was returning home from a successful battle, the crowds came out and they began to praise the victors, the army that was coming home for winning over the Philistines. And as the women danced, they began to sing a song, and this was common back then. They would make up songs to praise the victors that returned home. And they began to sing, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s." And the women, they weren't intentionally trying to slight Saul. They were just recognizing David for who he was and what he had accomplished. First, another verse, it says, "David met with more success than the rest of Saul's officers, and his name became well known." Just goes to show you how God was blessing him and preparing him for the day that he would eventually be king himself. But all this just made King Saul more and more jealous. And this jealousy, while it's something that we see so clearly in King Saul, yet the surprising part of the story is we don't see it in King Saul's son, Jonathan. You would think he'd be the one person that would be very jealous, because if David's going to be king, then Jonathan's not. And so after King Saul brought David to his court, we're told that David became best friends with Jonathan. Scripture tells us that they were like one in soul. That's how close their friendship was. You know, when you read verses 3 and 4, you're kind of left scratching your head. Why did Jonathan give his robe and tunic, sword, and belt to David to put on? But here again, I think it's helpful to understand a little bit of background. Clothes meant everything. Clothes made the person. And by doing this, Jonathan was recognizing that David was God's choice to be the next king and not himself. And he could have fought it. He could have been bitter about it. He could have been envious. But instead, he chose to accept it. And accept it as God's will, that God knew what was best. He was unwilling to allow anything to get in between his friendship with David. And it also tells us a lot about the kind of man that Jonathan was. And it's understandable that him and David had become such good friends. All this stands in contrast to the way King Saul handles all the events of chapter 18. Now, you would think that King Saul would be ecstatic with how well things were going. This little shepherd boy had taken down the enemy of Israel, this giant Philistine. And you'd have thought he would have been so grateful to God that God used David in this way. And his own son had become friends with David. David was the kind of kid that you wanted your own children to hang out with and have an influence over. And clearly that was happening. King Saul's daughter, Michelle, had fallen in love with David, and soon there would be a wedding. And on top of it all, Israel at this time was truly being blessed by God and were closer to God than they had been for a very long time. You would think that King Saul would be so happy and would be praising the Lord for his many blessings, but he's not. Instead, we see just the opposite. Why? Because he's filled with jealousy and envy, and it's stealing his contentment. Remember when the women were singing that Saul had slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? Listen to how King Saul responds. Not with joy that God was defeating their enemies, because that's ultimately who was doing this, but he's jealous of David. Verse 8. Not only tells us Saul was angry when he heard the woman's song, but he suddenly became afraid that David was trying to take his kingdom. You can almost hear King Saul whining when he says, "They've credited David with thousands and with 10,000s, and with me only just thousands, and it's not fair." And from that time on, our passage says, King Saul kept a jealous eye on David. It's hard to love somebody when you're jealous of them. It's hard to allow God's love to flow through you, that agape, sacrificial love, when you're jealous and envious of somebody's gifts and talents, of who they are, of what they accomplish. Jealousy, it creates discontent in our hearts, and it keeps us from rejoicing at the success of others because we're too focused on ourselves. We see that other person as a threat to our own happiness. Listen to how James 4:1 puts this. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires at battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. Remember the prodigal son? It's in Luke 15. And even though his younger brother finally came home and his father threw this huge party celebration for the young man, the older brother was angry and he refused to come to the party. Why? What was fueling that anger? Clearly jealousy of all the attention that was being shown to the younger brother, and he didn't feel like he deserved it. And I think that same jealousy is creating that kind of anger in King Saul, which leads him to do a lot of things that he shouldn't. In his jealousy, King Saul becomes obsessed with David. And I think you could say that it accelerates his fall of grace. He goes down quickly, like a sinking ship. God's no longer with him. And as that jealousy fills him, along with that anger, we're told that he tries to kill David. He threw a spear at David twice. He sent men to David's house to try to kill him. He chased David across the desert for a couple years. Saul even used his daughters as a vice, as a means to try to control David and to get to him. In time, Saul neglected his kingdom and eventually lost his mind, all because of his jealousy. Remember Lisa Nowak, the astronaut who became obsessed and the story goes where she goes from Florida to Texas wearing some adult diapers so that she didn't have to stop in order to try to stop some love interest of the person that she was in love with. And you wonder to yourself, what in the world is going on there? Here's somebody who's smart and intelligent, who's an astronaut, and yet look at the things that she ended up doing that she was even willing to put her career in jeopardy. Why would she do this? And the answer is jealousy. Jealousy makes us do things sometimes that just seem unbelievable. But it does this because it causes us to take our eyes off the Lord and just put them upon ourselves. And when jealousy fills our lives, it steals our peace. It steals our joy. It steals our contentment. So how do we fight against jealousy? How do we become more like Jonathan, who was able to submit to God's will and even be willing to surrender his kingdom? Well, the first remedy in our fight against jealousy is we've got to be willing to admit it. Admit that we struggle with it. We need to confess it. James 3:14 says, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth." We need to stop denying it, excusing it, justifying it, trying to minimize it. But we need to confess our jealousy for what it is. And we need to bring it to the cross of Jesus and ask Christ to take it from us. And 1 John 1:1 says that God is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Second remedy for jealousy is we've got to learn to put our trust in the Lord. Again, jealousy at its root, it's a lack of trust in God. It's doubting God's goodness. It's doubting His love, that He really cares about us, that He has our best in mind. See, when we don't believe this, when we don't trust God, that's when we try to take matters into our own hands. And that's usually when we get ourselves into trouble. And the only way that we can silence the voice of jealousy is to be reminded of just how much God loves us. And we just went through that season, the season of Easter, where we looked at the cross and we saw God's great love for us, that He was willing to send His one and only Son to die there for our sins. That Jesus left the glories of heaven and was willing to endure such suffering, both as He lived His life here on earth, but also as He went to the cross and died there. He was willing to endure all that out of His love for you and me. And when we remember that love, how could we ever doubt how much He cares for us? How could we not put our trust in Him like He calls us to? We can trust His love. And when you're certain of His love, that trust comes easily. But when you're not so sure, when you're far from the Lord, when you're not walking hand in hand with Jesus, that's when it gets tough. When there's distance between you and the Savior, it's so easy to forget just how much He really cares about us. Finally, we've got to learn to be grateful for who we are and for all that we have. As that song goes, we need to count our many blessings and name them one by one. Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. Gratitude is a great antivirus. The more grateful you are, jealousy, envy starts to decrease. When we remember how God has blessed us and how He cares for us, providing for us in such amazing ways, there's no room for jealousy to grow. But we have to be intentional about this, because our human nature, we focus on what we don't want or what we don't have. And we've got to turn that around and every day be mindful of just how God has blessed us and the little things that we enjoy each and every day, but most importantly, how He's blessed us through His Son, Jesus. This morning, would you like to have the contentment of Jonathan in your life? Then I encourage you to come to Jesus and come to know His love and put your trust in Him. One Christian author penned these words, "All my life I searched for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, but then I found all I really needed was at the foot of the cross. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Why? Because I have everything I need in Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus. Thank You for loving us so much, for how You bless us so abundantly. Forgive us, Lord, when we forget this. Father, when we allow jealousy and envy to take root in our hearts. And Lord, it causes us to do things that we later regret. Lord, it has a way of turning our lives around and Lord, bringing us to places we don't want to be. Forgive us, Lord. We confess our sins before You this morning, and we just pray that You might fill us with a renewed trust. May we keep our eyes on Jesus. May we trust His love. And we just pray, Lord, that You might use us, Lord, to be Your servants. May our lives be lived in gratitude before You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.